Let's just, I'm just going to open that up to 25 miles, just so I get a bigger range of people. You can direct the advert to wherever you go. Now, here's a couple of tips for you if you want to explore this. Run two different types of ad. One that's what we'd call a hard offer and one called a soft offer. The hard offer would be something like, call us now for your free financial review. The soft offer would be, follow this link to get your top 10 tax tips. Soft offer being one that doesn't require face-to-face or over the phone or, you know, that interaction. Hard offers require interaction. And by testing two, you'll know which one works best. Right, well, so I've got 500,000 people within 25 miles of New Mills aged between 45 and 64. Andrew, who's your favourite type of profession or interest? What type of people do you like to work with?
Favourite type?
Yeah, those with a chequebook and a pulse. Is there, you know, is it NHS or doctors or
one-armed left-handed vets?
Let's try a veterinarian. Right, there's fewer than 20 that are veterinarian. Interested in business. What this does here, where you go to interest, it says likes and interest targeting is based on information users list in their Facebook profiles, like the favourite films, music, groups, pages they have connected to, and other information they've shared on the site. It also includes religion, political views, occupation, job title. So we now know that there's 2,000 interested in business within 25 miles. So I'm not saying use this to advertise. What I'm saying is use this to help quantify the scope of your target market, because you might need to just broaden or tighten your target.
Does Facebook provide feedback as Google did, if you do advertise?
Yeah.
It's
a lot simpler. I mean, it's not as advanced as Google. With Google AdWords, Google will check the quality of your website before it, you know, and all kinds of stuff. Whereas Facebook is really simple.
Can you put a ceiling on how many clicks are actually hitting your advert?
You can set a daily budget so that you don't spend more than £5 a day, that sort of thing.
So, I could just make a comment here. Peter and I are studying, Peter's well aware of this by years, but we're together studying how to use Facebook specifically for business. Because it is a different game to playing with it personally. And my objective is to talk to Peter about educating you late autumn specifically on Facebook for business. There may not be a face-to-face workshop like this, it may be something we deliver to your business, to your home, as a home study package or whatever, but we're both looking at that right now. Studying quite hard.
How does that compare to LinkedIn, which is another
area? I'm going to talk about LinkedIn later. And show of hands, who's on LinkedIn? Right, there's more of you guys on LinkedIn.
It's a different tool with a different purpose. So, please hang on that
together. Absolutely, it's a different strategy that you would follow on LinkedIn. But I would be on both because you. There's a crossover in financial services, isn't there? I mean, it may be that your client is a business owner, but the transaction normally is a private transaction. So people generally look at Facebook after 5 o'clock. You know, it's an evening thing. You don't generally look at it during the day. But it's a good way of staying in front of people. Martin, can I just... Martin uses Facebook. In fact, yesterday posted a... going off to see Dave Scarlett tomorrow, as a comment. You're quite new to using Facebook, but how has it gone so far?
It's a learning curve for me, and it's part of an overall strategy to raise my personal profile so that within my locality, I become synonymous with financial planning. So when people are in that buying moment, my name is ever present. So it's just giving me that edge.
Fantastic.
That's being invisible.
Can I just pick up on something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm excited.
Steady.
I've been watching Martin for a couple of weeks. I'm really amused. Peter had to just beat me up to get me on Twitter. I just argued and tossed for weeks, and I just don't get it. I don't want to talk about what I'm having for lunch today and that I'm going to the beach on Saturday. I'm not interested that they know. And then Facebook's worse. I just wouldn't touch the stuff until about 4 weeks ago. First thing I saw was in. Suddenly, this bloke, Martin Duck. How did Facebook know how to connect me and Martin Duck? Because it did. It just connected us. How it did it, I don't know. What's Martin Duck doing? And all these people started appearing. And then I had a look at what Martin's doing, and I began to understand. But if you go back to where we were very early this morning, remember the language of relationships? And I've begun... I'm really slow, but I get there in the end. And Peter's incredibly patient with me. What's exciting about watching the Martins and all of you learning this stuff before I learned it and then catching up with this? All of this is about developing a quality relationship until they have the desire to take some action and come and pick up the phone and maybe call me or whatever. And what I've noticed people like Martin doing is they're positioning themselves on these things like Facebook and like Twitter. I know John and Stephen look at this as well. Just, I'll decide what you see about me and what you know about me and how you feel about me and what kind of person I am. I'll set the influence I want to have on you, how you perceive me, and where I'm positioning your head and your heart. I'll make that decision. I'll do it in hundreds of little drips across days and weeks until you see me the way I want you to see me and you understand what I stand for, the kind of person I am, the kind of family I have, and so on and so forth. And then you either find me completely off balance or you'll just think, you know what, that's the kind of person I want to talk to already. But it's not interrupting me. It's just walking alongside me and just saying, here I am, I'm all life now, all over you, you know, quietly just chatting to you. And occasionally we'll start to banter. So I'm bantering with some IFAs at the moment. We're just bantering, we're not playing, we're just playing. But I know I'm bantering with them and I'm in their world. And here's a phrase I picked up. I love this phrase. You're one of us. And you can become the us that we might start to talk to you. You try and sell to me, you think you're one of us. And the whole community will just pitch you right out and reject you. But if you can show me you're one of us by the way you talk, communicate with the community, Facebook, Twitter, then we'll kind of, he's one of us. And we'll start to chat back and eventually we'll be ready to do what he's really quite interesting. Sorry,
that's super.
It took me a month. It took me months to get
into the thing is with Dave, it's a bit like one of these oil tankers, really slow to get going, but when he does, he just keeps going. So, right, page 16. Budget. This is here because people ask me the question. How much does a website cost, or how much is my social media campaign going to cost me, and all those sort of things. And the way I like to bounce that question back is, how much new revenue do you want to generate from this channel over the next 12 months? So let's say you're thinking, right, I could really do with an upgrade on my website. If it's going to help to convert prospects, then yeah, it's worth doing. How much do I want to generate as a result of people coming to the website? And my general rule of thumb is if they say £50,000 or £100,000 or £20, whatever, your budget should be roughly 10% of what you want to generate. That's just my simple rule of thumb. And from my perspective, that stops my prospects saying, yeah, I want to generate £500,000 over the next 12 months. And my budget is £500. Because that is totally unreasonable, isn't it? How could you possibly expect to get that return from a measly investment of £500? I mean, if we could, yeah, be doing something else, wouldn't we? So to those people, yeah, invest £50,000. You probably won't be far wrong with that. Okay. Dave, do you want to just take on planner metrics?
Can I ask honestly, who feels really comfortable on a 10% marketing budget in the business? Well, I first was told that I felt really uncomfortable.
It's not 10% of current revenue, it's 10% of expected income.
Expected revenue, yeah. So if you want, what Peter's suggesting, if you want an extra £100,000, you better be prepared to spend 10. Yeah? Who still feels that's a bit scary? Yeah, it is scary.
You've got to find it first.
But I think that's 10 to 1 is a pretty good return. 10 to 1 is an excellent return. If you could put £1 down in the stock market, we'd expect a 10 times return in 12 months. It's a pretty good fund.
It's scary, Dave, isn't it? Not being convinced that it's going to work, that 10 grand you spend, is it going to turn into 100 grand, or is that 10 grand on the stock market going to turn into a grand?
Could do, yeah.
But
and the same could.
That it's forward to, if you're sitting in it, the Buffett style will come back. Whereas your marketing can be spent and it can be
gone. It's not going to come back, that's right.
The phase is they don't know where their marketing budget is going to
be.
But you would spend it gradually over the course of a number of months. You're not laying out 10,000 all at once, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting about what Peter said was, and something again I learnt from Peter, marketing is a test. It's always a test. If you're not prepared to test with marketing, then maybe you don't really understand marketing. It's constantly a test. So to think that your first brochure is going to be the biz and win you lots of business is just not real. Think that your first bash at a website, my first bash at a website was a nightmare. My first bash at video is a nightmare. I mean, it's still up there on the Advisor Gym. It's the first video we ever did. I looked at it, it's horrible. It's just a test, but you have to keep testing, and you have to keep testing, and you have to keep testing. And what Peter was saying about those analytic things, and I saw your eyes starting to boggle. Google Analytics, God, blimey, enough problems with SIPs. Is unless you're measuring, then you shouldn't play. You need to start measuring. An interesting word appeared on Peter's screen. Something that we've touched upon with some of you. All of you need, as part of your normal daily behaviour, to have dashboards. What do I mean by dashboards? What's a dashboard in the car for?
Indicators.
What does it show you?
How you're progressing, where you are.
Yeah, where you are. What else does it show you? Fast, yeah. What does it show you?
How far you've travelled.
How much fuel you've got left.
How much fuel you've got left. And how often does it tell you that stuff?
Constantly.
Yes. So when I hear IFAs come to me and say, my quarterly financial summary, are you kidding me? How can you measure a business on a quarterly financial summary? Your car tells you within microseconds. And you're doing a quarterly financial summary. That's not a dashboard. Dashboard is weekly. And you can't test marketing on a quarterly basis. You have to, and once you go online, it's, you know, once a week, once a month, it's test. You'll see when I send out emails to you, within about 5 minutes, I know exactly what's going on. I know which of you have opened the email, which of you clicked through on the link, how many times you clicked through, how many times you watched the video. I know. Scary, isn't it? I'm watching you like a hawk. I'm watching you. Yeah, I'm watching. I'm watching you. Watching me. Watching you. And the reason is because I just don't know whether this stuff is any good or not. I mean, it might be useless, and you'll tell me it's useless. But I have to know fairly quickly so I can change it next time. And does that make sense? So you're right, Martin. It could be 10k down the drain. But if you divide it into chunks of 1K or 800 or whatever it is, and you test and you test and you test and you test. How much was that video, Paul?
That was around 800 pounds.
800, yeah. You know, and most of you could...
Special offer, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, it twists, it's just Phil's arm.
Well,
he
just got told he won't get any more than that. It was a simple conversation.
Right. Was this Jamie or was this Phil?
No, it's Leighton, he's garage nephew.
Okay. So yeah, you're right. It, you know, 10% is a rule of thumb, and you really need to test and test and test so you don't blow that budget. But it's real. Planner metrics, page 17. Workshops are every how many days? Between workshops? 90. So, you know, divide this kind of thing into a 90-day plan. Have a little plan for your 90-day marketing. Set a goal. What is it you want to achieve? What resources do I need, which includes money and people? And, you know, you can read. Just look through that stuff back at the office. It's just a one-page summary of what am I going to do this month? What am I going to do this quarter? What am I going to do this week? And what am I going to do today? So you know that Sam and I, back at the office, you know, I only have one employee in the office. Everything else is outsourced and virtual. And what Sam and I do, you know, at the beginning of every week is he produces a week plan. Okay, and I have to have a week plan. Monday morning, Sam, where's your week plan? So I know what he's doing Monday morning, afternoon, Tuesday morning, afternoon, Wednesday morning. Okay, I know the whole week what he's doing. And then on Friday afternoon, we measure how he's done. And he sees mine as well. So we swap. We swap week plans and we measure how well we've done on our objectives. Not quarterly, weekly. And at the end of every day, I want a summary from Sam, which takes no more than 2 minutes. Every day, I want a 2-minute summary, either by email or by word. If he's sitting next to me, just send me an email if I'm busy on the phone, Sam. 2-minute email, what have you done today? Bang, thank you. And that just keeps the whole business moving forward. So that's the purpose. People say, please can we have a template, David? This is your planner. This is your 90-day marketing planner. Please use it. Please use it. It will tell you to tell yourself, I have to do this quarter and this month. Just photocopy this thing. Print it off. If you want an example on an email so you can keep printing it off for every month and every week and every day, just ask me and I'll send you so you can print it off. But there's your planner. Many of you said, so Dave, what do I do now? Well, this is your planner for what do I do now. Peter.
Right, okay. So, moving swiftly on. Talked about budget, plan and metrics, assessing your website. So we're on page 18. Now this is a self-assessment that you could do to your own website, and if you want, we can bring someone's website up and critique it. Does anyone volunteer that one?
You can do it.
Okay.
I think I know where we are. The last bit we haven't got yet.
Okay.
The colours are important.
Yeah.
We'll be in the church.
Right, there we go. Can see it a bit better now. So, things that we're looking for. First of all, does it have a clear purpose? Does your website have a clear purpose? Can you understand what is the most wanted objective? I've used that phrase already today. Most wanted objective. Is it to generate leads or is it just a corporate brochure? Is there going to be a call to action on there? What about the imagery? How does it look? What are the first impressions like? Oh, I think this scores pretty well, don't you? Looks nice and professional. Consistency across marketing vehicles. Does your brochure follow the same branding?
Okay.
Excellent. Right down to the underpants. Everything's consistent.
On the visitor to your website, what exactly do you want me to do, Paul? What do you want me to do as a one single objective?
Contact us.
Okay. So where do I do that?
Telephone.
We've got a telephone.
You've got to get in touch.
Or get in touch.
You've designed that completely as well to make it a lot more simple. Right. So you can just tick box.
Yeah.
People can't be bothered writing out.
And would you rather like get in contact via that form or by telephone?
Well, I mean, obviously what you said today, I think telephone would be better, but I think there is a certain reality that people do tend to browse websites maybe 2 or 3 times before they get in touch with you.
Yeah.
And personally, I do a lot of emailing myself when I go on websites. Obviously, we're not trying to sell anything online except the service proposition. So we know it's not perfect by a long shot, but what then I'll ask for?
Yeah, I do like the fact that your phone number is on every page. Now, some people, let's say the techies who aren't marketing people, will say, well, you want people to go through to your contact us page so you can measure the Google Analytics of where, you know, what journey they've taken. And they might just arrive on the home page and get your phone number and then click off, which are make your bounce rate worse. Bounce rate, I said, about people just arriving and going. So it skews your figures. However, golden rule for internet marketing is don't sacrifice effectiveness for efficiency. Just don't do it. You should be, you're absolutely positively after effectiveness. If you can be efficient at the same time, great. So a telephone number is effective. The only thing that I might suggest here is that you perhaps add a call to action.
Yeah.
And it's an invitation. It's just a prompter to take people over, like,
get in touch,
yeah, so call us now call for a friendly chat. Yeah, please call now. When you're getting into the text of that, then you can be a bit more developed. Give people the reason why to call and then tell them what happens when they've called you. I call us now for an informal chat on 123456, and we'll discuss your needs, and it's really simple, blah blah blah. Right. Usability, how easy is it to find your way around the website? Yep, scores there. Scores because the logo is also a click to the home page. Is it search engine optimized?
Probably not. That's something we need to do. I can have
it. Okay. Well, with you guys marketing and search engine optimizing, it's different advice. I'd give you different advice than I would to a high street clothing store because of what people will be searching for. People aren't looking on Google to solve the problems that you can solve. They're only looking on Google to find you when they've been recommended. Now, they might stumble across you writing on a blog or on LinkedIn or on Facebook, or you might have some interruption advertising on Facebook, you know, those pay-per-click stuff. But I don't believe that people search for what you can offer directly on Google. So, in fact, what I'm looking at here is this, at the very top, is your page title, Centric Wealth Management. Manchester Expert Financial Planning. That is your prime real estate. The page title of any website is the prime real estate. Do you remember people saying things like meta tags, keyword meta tags? Does that ring bells? Absolutely defunct. Mm-hmm. Mean nothing now because they were abused. People would, unscrupulous people would put the wrong keywords, like sex, and take you off to some other site. Or Google doesn't look at the keywords in the old meta tags anymore. But what Google does look at is the page title, and it also reads the words you write on the page. So I have seen some IFA websites that are literally photocopies of their brochures. I say literally because it's an image that has been cut and pasted onto the website, and you can read it, but Google can't. Google thinks it's a picture. If you've got words up the top there that say things like financial services and IFA and bonds and pensions and stuff like that, that's probably been search engine optimized. If it just says your company name on every page, then it hasn't. Your company, you guys, your company name is important, and perhaps even the individual, i.e. your name.